Father's intention or the Father's vision is that he will manifest himself through everyone, every part of the body of Christ. Experience will be measured. Your victory will be measured according to the purity of your doctrine. Your progress will be measured according to the soundness of your doctrine. Things have the power to shape a believer's future. They continue steadfastly first in the apostles' doctrine, because it is from this doctrine that the power will flow with the intention that God had in mind.
Power, majesty, beyond to Christ our glory, honor, power, majesty, beyond to Christ. I'll sing you one more. Glory, honor, glory, honor, oh, power, majesty, beyond to Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Glory to God. All right, so this primitive apostolic practices, I guess, is part 9. Amen. And today we'll be talking about sold out part 2. Hallelujah. Sold out part 2. Primitive apostolic practices. Sold out part 2. Now, in front of the sold out, you can write the practice of sacrificial giving. Hallelujah. The practice of sacrificial giving. Now, it's been almost 3 months of teaching, and the experience has been phenomenal. Glory to God. We've been learning, we've been receiving from the Lord, receiving impartations, having our minds aligned and having our understanding aligned to fit God's expectations. Hallelujah. And which was the foundational statement, part of the foundational statements we made at the beginning of the teaching, that God has a vision for his church. God has an expectation, okay, of his church. And our job as ministers, as leaders, our job as a church is to raise people to fit God's expectations. Glory to God. We don't design our own thing. We design a curriculum to raise the people that will satisfy God's vision, okay, that will fit God's expectation. Glory to God forevermore. And we said that all through scriptures, God's mind has been so clear. And that is, he wants to flow through every part of the body. And that is, he wants all of his people to be prophets. He wants to put his spirit upon all of, upon, and put his spirit upon them, according to Moses, when he was told that, look, there were these guys prophesying, stop them, bid them to stop. They are not with the people that God chose out of the camp. He says, these guys are prophesying. He says, are you jealous for me? I would to God that all of God's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And we said that's a very remarkable statement. He was prophesying as a prophet. He was speaking not just for his time, but for dispensations to come. He saw through the vistas of the Spirit what was on God's mind, that God wanted to put his spirit upon his people. He wants his people to speak for him. He wants to live through his people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we said, we are no longer in the Moses generation, because he was the one who prophesied that this thing is not about one man's show. Are we together? God wants to recruit all of his people, okay, to carry out his agenda on the earth. Hallelujah. And we looked at the pattern and the practice. We began to look at the results, rather, of the early church. We saw that the church was full of power. It was a young church, okay? They had just gotten born again on the day of Pentecost, but their results were remarkable. The cover they had then wore, according to history, in a century or so. Hallelujah. They did remarkable things, amazing and remarkable things. And we began to examine what positioned them to prosecute such global enterprise with such background, so to say. They didn't have religious backgrounds. A lot of them were uneducated, remember? The Bible says when they took notice of them that they were learned men, they were surprised and took note that they had been with Jesus. But the point is that they were learned men. They were not people who were schooled, okay, in the then educational system. Are we together? That means you can see that they didn't have the certificate, so educationally they were disadvantaged, but they did so much exploit. Why? They were practices. So we called them primitive apostolic practices, and we began to talk about the first thing from Acts chapter 2 verse 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There we talked about commitment to sound doctrine. Number two, there we talked about the practice of protracted interface with the word. That's being committed to the apostles' doctrine there. Then we talked about breaking of bread. We talked about prayer, rather. Then from there, we went to fellowship. Have it together. All right. Fellowship. The practice of doing life together. Yes, the practice of genuine fellowship. Doing life together. And then last week, we landed on verse 44, 45. This is where we'll continue from today. Amen. Are you with me? Did I get justice to the recap? All right. So, Acts chapter 2, 42 to 45. The practice of sacrificial giving. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. The practice of sacrificial giving. Acts 2, 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Verse 40, 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. 44. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Again, we see fellowship there, and we see sacrificial living there. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. This was what we began last week Sunday when we were talking about sacrificial living. And I think we spoke about it in three lines. Number one, understanding God's purpose. Understanding God's purpose. That you see, after you come into fellowship with God, you have to understand that the Father has an interest on the earth. That's the first thing we said. That every believer must understand God's purpose. Christianity is a call to fellowship. But in that fellowship is the discovery of God's interest. We say, our Father has an interest on the earth. Our King has an interest on the earth. And you see, a true son participates in the interest of his Father. Are we together? So that's the first thing, understanding God's purpose. We talked about that last week. Understanding God's purpose. I told you, and I have to reemphasize it today. I told you that only two things are happening in the world. Number one, the advancement of God's kingdom. Number two, the antagonism of Satan to that advancement. And every believer is participating in either one, just in one. You cannot be on the fence. We're either participating in the advancement of God's kingdom or participating in the antagonism of the same. You are either building Zion or facilitating the building of Babylon. Are we together? And you see, for many believers, that's happening at a very subconscious level. Glory to God. And I gave a very staggering example last week. If you're not around, you can get the materials. Amen. Never forget that God has an interest, and you have to be consciously involved in propagating his interest. And we said you cannot do that until you are sold out. Glory to God. And that led us to the second thing we talked about. That was clarifying your priorities. Thank you. And then number three, aligning your daily purpose. Everything you do must be deliberate. It must be strategic. You must see God's purpose and deliberately propagate God's purpose with your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's the same thing he's talking about, that they parted all that they had. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Glory to God. The very price of discipleship is the giving of your all. In Matthew 10, 37 to 40, Jesus talked about that. You can put it up. We'll read many scriptures today. Matthew 10, 37 to 40. That's the price of discipleship. Your all. He said, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. I mean, who makes such a statement? He must be a God. Amen. He must be God, and he is God. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. In one record, it says, you must hate your father, your mother, your family, so to say, and follow me. So that hatred that he's talking about, relative love, that's the message. That means you cannot love. This is huge.
you know, you can read something in the Bible and just pass. And so, oh, that's nice. Okay. Yet I love Jesus more than my father and my mother now, and more than my family. Until you get into practice. Until decisions are to be made. Those of you who were around last week, I made a very important statement. I said, giving to wife, husband, yourself, what you've not given to God is a revelation of your low-level Christianity. I'm paraphrasing. Praise God. That means you shouldn't give to yourself what you have not given God. You shouldn't give to family members what you have not given God. You see, we need to start teaching these things, because the church that will usher in the coming of the Lord Jesus is the church that is fully activated and fully sold out. Is here. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Now, he's not saying you should not love your father, your mother, your family members, but it's relative love. Are we together? Am I talking to disciples? It's relative love. You can't put them ahead of him. Some people are like, there was a time a man of God lost his son in this country some months ago. And then that evening also, he had the meeting and he was there blessing millions online. And at the end, just, okay, pray for us and all that. He went ahead to do it. And those men are not pretending. There's something they know. They're not pretending. Glory to God. There was time they told Bishop Oyedepo that his daughter was dying in the hospital. He sent scripture. He said, go and pray for him. He went for a meeting. And he told him, he says, am I the one to heal him? I'm not the one to heal him. It is God that will heal him. In your modern mind, you think he's insensitive. A modern wife can even file for divorce because of that. Neglect. Are we together? My wife cannot love me more than she loves Jesus. She knows. Your husband cannot love you more than he loves Jesus. Are we here? Sometimes when we teach about first fruit, somebody says, no, it's my father who sent me to school. My first salary is supposed to be sent to my father. You don't understand this scripture. You see, you either decide to live at the level of general wisdom, good and bad, human knowledge, or you step up to work at the level of divine wisdom. Are we together? Well, I remember when I became a doctor and I was doing my house job, before my first salary came, I told my dad, I said, I'm going to give my first salary to God. That's what I know from scriptures. I think he said, that's fine. I'm not looking for your money. That's fine. Amen. He said, that's fine. You want to honor God? I think that's the right thing to do. Since you have experience, you just go ahead and do it. Have it together. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It's the same thing he's saying. 38. I know some people wish we could tear this out of the Bible. Bad news is still there. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Are you seeing that? 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. You see, I'm trying to wrap up last week to enter into this week. Do you notice that? He's very important. He that finds his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. So we're not talking about losing your life for any other thing, but for your sake. Glory to God. That's definite. For my sake. Meaning you put your life out. This is what it means to be sold out, isn't it? He says, he that is trying to protect his life will lose it. But he that is putting his life out for my sake will find it. This is Christianity. This is the cost of following Jesus. You are sold out. These were the things the apostles heard. And it affected how they structured and ran church when the church was born in the early church. Have it together. They heard from Jesus. But to follow Jesus, relative love. Nothing can stand in his class in your heart. That's what they heard. They heard Jesus teach that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. These were the things they heard, that he that will find his life will lose it. But he that will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You know, somebody said, you are not truly living until you have found something you can die for. And for us, it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Have it together. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And as we go further, we'll explain death figuratively. It doesn't mean you'll be crucified upside down like Peter. Not necessarily. Only very few have such part in this dispensation. They had to do that for a reason, and I'll show you shortly. They were the foundation of the church. You don't see the foundation of a building outside. They are buried. The foundation of every building is buried. The root of every tree is underground. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to see you shortly. So, the reason why some of them died the way they did, it was deliberate. The Bible says they refused deliverance. Have it together. And for some of them, the Lord Jesus had to appear to them. Let me not go ahead of myself. I had to appear to them and tell them, go back and die. Church history tells us. Have it together. Glory to God forevermore. But you see, are we exempted from the death, from losing our lives because we are 21st century church? No. 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 It may not be physical death, but figurative death. Are you still with me? Glory to God. Verse 40 now. Hi. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receives me receiveth him that sends me. And all that. Are you still with me? We see that again in Matthew 19, 27 to 29. Let's read the scripture. Matthew 19, 27 to 29. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken how many things? All, and have followed thee. What shall we have therefore? You remember the background to this story. The context was Jesus responding to the young man who asked him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life and all that? He says, what is the greatest commandment rather? And he told him, okay, love your neighbor as yourself and all that. He said, this I have done. And I said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. So the context was being sold out. But in a different way. It was around finances. And Jesus told him, said, sell everything you have, give to the poor, so you may have reward in the invisible realm. Then come and follow me. It was a test of his heart. It wasn't because Jesus was against wealth and prosperity, but it was a test of his heart. That means until God has your heart, material things will have them. Have it together. And the Bible says the man was sad and left. And Jesus turned and began to speak. He said, ah, how difficult it is for those who are rich in this world to enter into the kingdom of God. And then he gave that popular hyperbole. Okay, it was a figure of speech used in those days when he says, it is easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. What is he saying? It was a popular, you know, there are people who have explained that there is a gate in Jerusalem that is so narrow that if you're passing with the beast, you bend. That gate was erected in the medieval, amen. It's just, it wasn't available in the days of Jesus. But that expression was common among Jewish people to refer, it was a figure of speech that referred to something that is impossible. Are we together? So he's painting the picture of difficulty, of something that is near impossible. But he added, with God, all things are possible. Have it together. Glory to God. So you can't make a theology from there. You can't create a doctrine against prosperity and wealth from there. Amen. But that is not even my point. Now, the apostles hear me that Peter said, ah, Master, we have left all and have followed you. What shall we have? Well, you may go ahead to question their motive, but that is not the focus. The focus is they left all to follow him. He was, in their mind, he was transactional. Ah, we left all to follow you. We're not going to be blessed. Are you here? And Jesus gave a statement. You can continue now. 27, 28 now. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye have followed me, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Next verse. And remember the apostles said, we will judge the world with him. And everyone that had forsaken houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, children, land, lands. In the early church, they did it. For my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. If you read Luke's account, he said he shall receive 100-fold where? In this life. in this life. In this life. I want to paint pictures for you from the Gospels and all through Scripture of the expectation of God for a disciple. Are we together? I want to paint a picture of how the early church lived. They were sold out. They had one agenda, and that was the propagation of the gospel. And they put everything they had in it. We read last week, Paul says, I'm willing to spend and be spent for you. He was talking to God's people. I'm willing to spend and be spent. Two things, sacrificial living, sacrificial giving. I'm willing to spend and be spent. That means my substance will go, my convenience will go. How about together? Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 4. We're still in Acts. Acts chapter 4, 33 to 37. We'll take it on from there. Acts 4, 33 to 37. But they are related. You know why? Your money really, technically speaking, in a measure, is a measure of your life. Are you aware of that? Have you heard people say, my heart and money, my sweat, my blood? Have you heard people use those expressions? You can't use them, but in a way, is a truism that a part of a man's life is measured by what he has. Are we together? And a scripture of, as time goes on, I will show you. Because with that, you also understand when the Bible talks about laying down your life for your brethren. When you carry your life savings and give for evangelism, that is your life you just lead. Are you with me? I'm beginning to talk about that figurative death now. Glory to God. So, they are related. Sold out 1 and 2. They are related. Sacrificial living and sacrificial giving are related. Hallelujah. And with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. People sold things and brought to church. It didn't start with us. Are you with me? And laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distributions were made unto every man according as they had need. Next verse. And Joseph, who by the apostles was son named Barnabas, which is being interpreted son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. 37. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Is that where I say you should stop? And 37. Okay. So they gave him a pet name by his giving, son of consolation. Barnabas. We know him as Barnabas, but that was in his first name. Hallelujah. Now, you know why? Part of the reason we need to talk about this is this. During the media volunteer and partners conference, or those of you around, I taught you about mechanizing soul winning. How many of you remember that? Mechanizing soul winning. Listen, Satan has already, and his children, they have mechanized their harvest. It is a church that is fishing with hook and line. I told you that harvest can be likened to fishing. Jesus likened soul winning rather to fishing. And see, you can either fish with hook, line, and sinker, or you fish with those machineries. You can fish with the sheep, with the large net. Are you with me this morning? You can either go to the farm to cultivate the land with hoe and cutlass. I mean, you may make just 10 ridges per day. But you can carry the tractor there. You can carry the machines there. Are we together? And do it massively. God's vision is mechanized soul winning. That's God's vision. Satan has automated his harvest. We need to automate ours for the glory of our King. So when you think about spreading the love of God, think mechanized. And it's impossible to mechanize or soul winning without being sold out. It's not possible. Because it will cost us our convenience. It will cost us sometimes our plans. It will cost us money. It will cost us effort, great effort. And eventually, you know, I used to say then, I said, that your neighbor you are not getting, you are not, that your neighbor who is a teenager that you're not interested in, may become an armed robber tomorrow and come and rob your house. It's a reality. Because most of the things we complain about are propagated or happened because we did not mechanize the harvest, at least in our territory. To mechanize something, you have to inject capital. Talk to me, somebody. You have to inject capital. If you're a farmer and you want to go from peasant farming to mechanized farming, is it English you speak? You will buy some things. Money is required. Anything in politics is the same thing. If I heard somebody say this, that a kingmaker was telling them, like, you want to be governor of one state in Nigeria, they'll tell you to bring, is it 5 or 10 million? And then as you are sitting, there's fire, they are burning it. They said, that's your money burning. Are you ready for your money to burn? So you can't even go there if you don't have money. You know, these zeal people, I like to be realistic. One young man who dropped message, he has a vision to be the president of this state. God gives you a vision. He threats to this place. Amen. Bros, calm down. You are not ready to be the president of this country. Plan for the future. Don't tell us you're planning for 2019. I think that was 2019. I was amazed. What do you want me to do? I said, the Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. Because many people don't understand how life works. And they have crossed into Christianity with the same mindset. You are interested in making Jesus famous. Oh, you have to be sold out. You have to put money. You see, the guys on the other side have an agenda. And they sponsor the agenda. They are putting everything they have into these things. When you watch movies on Netflix and you see gay scene, it's not free. Somebody paid for it. Millions of dollars. Hear me. Did you hear what I just said? Any movie you watch and you see a gay scene, okay, a scene that is LGBT compliant, somebody paid for it. They have an agenda. The question I want to ask you is, what's your own agenda? What's your own agenda? What are you passionate about advancing? What do you want to advance passionately? According to the scripture, it should be the gospel. And this is the key to prosperity. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Listen, no movement can move forward without sacrifice. No movement. Of course, the kingdom is a movement. But it cannot move without sacrifice. It's the law of the universe. And this is the reason you see the early church. The apostles of the early church had to die the way they did. It was part of God's strategy to open the earth for the gospel. It was. I mean, the same God who delivered Peter from prison was watching while he died. He was crucified upside down. Let me give a historical perspective to it. It was said that when Nero also, I can't remember who was the Roman emperor then, when he was about invading Jerusalem, news came to the apostles. So they had the opportunity to escape, to just run out of Jerusalem. You remember, they were in Jerusalem. Paul and the other people went to the Gentiles. News came that invasion, Christians were going to be persecuted, were going to get killed and all that. So they could escape. You will see that Peter walked to the gate of Jerusalem, about to go out, and which is an honest thing to do. The Lord Jesus appeared to him. You remember in John 21 also, he told him the kind of death with which you glorify him. He said, Peter, this is time for that death I told you about. Go back. And when he got there, of course, they said they were going to crucify him. He said, well, he is not worthy to be crucified the way his master was. So they should crucify him upside down. That was how they died. Why? God facilitated it. Why? Is a law of the universe. But even God, when he wants to do things on the earth, has to be subservient to that law to carry out things on the earth. But without sacrifice, nothing moves. Are we together? So my call to action for you is be heart of those who are making the sacrifices for the gospel to move forward. That's my call to action for you. That's my call to action for you. So they laid their lives down in death. No, imagine that the Lord Jesus appeared to him and said, go back and die. So that it necessary to fulfill all righteousness for the earth to open. Are we together? We may not be in the dispensation of the physical death of the gospel. Like I said earlier, some may have to pass through the path. But there are other forms of death. Death simply means loss of control. Are we together? Death simply means doing as you are commanded by the Lord. Remember, it says, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. St. John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 24. He said, but when it dies, it becomes fruitful. This is the path of the believer. So when we talk about sacrificial giving, understand it this way. Your money is a measure of your life. When you lay it down, it's a form of death. So they died physically for the gospel. There are other ways you can die for the gospel. That's what I'm saying. Are you still with me? It's a law. Hallelujah. The early church put their all into the preaching of this gospel. They put their all financially into the gospel. We just read it in Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. Let me just add this. You see, the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, the saints of old had an assignment. And you see, a lot of times people mix it up. You must understand part of the rules for biblical interpretation or studying the Bible is to understand dispensations. Okay. And who is saying what to who? Have it together. Of course, Christ is at the center of it all. That's the central point. That's the central rally of all of scriptures. But you must understand God's dealings with people in different dispensations. Before Jesus came, all they had, the church was just the Jews, right? It just means called out ones. The Gentiles were alienated from the covenant of promise. They were dead and without God in this world. In fact, the message of repentance that John preached was primarily to the Jews. Amen. Because repentance from what to the Gentile? The Gentile was cut off from the covenant of promise. So you have to understand what is written to who. In what dispensation? What is the assignment? So the Jews were the church. They were the ecclesia of God in the Old Testament. And the assignment was simple. Prepare the temple. Take care of the poor. Are we together? Prepare for the coming of the Messiah. God gave them the law. The Bible says the law was added because of transgression until the seed to whom the promise was made should come. And that was talking about Jesus. The law was given to them. Part of the purpose of the law was to show them how unrighteous, was to show them their need for a savior, their need for a Messiah. Have it together. So to even begin with, the law was given to the children of Israel. Are you still with me? But here's my point. The assignment was to maintain the temple and take care of the poor. So you notice that there's a lot of emphasis. In fact, you notice that the core emphasis of the Old Testament was social justice. Did you get that? And a lot of Christians make that mistake. It is not the same for the New Testament. The assignment of the church is different. The assignment of the church is to disciple the nations. The assignment of the church is to go into all the world and make disciples, make students of all nations. How? By establishing the lordship of Jesus in their hearts and in the various spheres of human endeavor. There's a difference. So the focus is eternal destiny of man. God is in a hurry to do that. That's the focus of the assignment of the church. Social work could just be a tool to carry out that assignment. Have you ever said things that the church should be building schools, should be doing this? The church does that. But that is not the core of the church. So because Rehoboam did not build schools and hospitals or feed the hungry as his call, you think he was not a Christian and he didn't carry out ministry. You have missed God a mile. You have missed God 10 miles. He won 75 million souls recorded, minus the unrecorded ones, because there are millions are unrecorded. I believe that. Those are the ones that were able to record. He died at 78, right? That means average of 1 million soul per annum from when he was wearing pampers. That's a valid ministry there. So winning and discipling nations. Are we together? So you must understand the focus of the church. It is to win souls. And prosecuting this global enterprise is expensive. Let me get to the second point of my message now. God's wisdom. What is God's wisdom for sponsoring his work on the earth? What is his wisdom in sponsoring? What is, when we say God's wisdom, what is his mind concerning sponsoring the spread of this gospel, the spread of his agenda, the advancement of his kingdom, of his interest on the earth? What is God's wisdom? You need to write this down. You see, God has a preferred way of doing things. God can do all things, but he has a preferred way of doing things. And as you study your Bible, you will see there is everyone to scriptures from Genesis to Revelation that God can do all things. But as far as his operation on the earth is concerned, he has a preferred way of doing things. When Jesus was to be born, the vision, the instructions came to Mary. After Mary came under the authority of Joseph, do you know who God was speaking to? Joseph. But it wasn't Joseph that was carrying Jesus. The things concerning Jesus were told to Joseph, the man to whom Mary was betrothed. Are you with me? That means God has a preferred way of doing things. And in that instance, he was following authority line. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, take the child to Egypt. When he was done, bring the child back. He was appearing to him. What was his business? He wasn't the one carrying the baby. He was the one who had the encounter with the angel, with the Lord. But God has a preferred way of doing things. Why would God use Moses, okay, to write the highest number of books in the Old Testament and use Paul to write the highest number of books in the New Testament? And it's no coincidence that both of them went to school. They were educated. God has a preferred way of doing things. He can speak to a donkey, but that's not his preferred way of doing things. He could have written all of the epistles through Peter, but that's not his preferred way of doing things. On the earth, he needed a man with a malleable mind. Are you seeing that? And the moment you begin to understand that about God, you begin to make progress. That God has a preferred way of doing things. Glory to God forevermore. For example, the leading of the Spirit, his preferred way is through the inward witness or the inward voice. There are those who think, well, the louder God speaks from the outside, the more spiritual I am. No, you are not. Chances are, if he's shouting like that, he has spoken to your heart again and again, but you were too distracted to hear him. You were too engrossed with many other things to hear him. And then he had to shout from outside. Are we together? He has a preferred way. He does. So God has a preferred way of sponsoring the gospel on the earth. And guess what that is? It is through the prosperity of his people. Never forget that. He's not waiting for United Nations to put budget for evangelism. It will never happen. He's not waiting for United States of America to assign a budget for evangelism. Okay, for discipling the nations, it may not happen. He's not waiting for federal government of Nigeria to put in a budget. He will force them. He can appear to them in the dream. Put your budget there for my church. And the guy will shake. You write it, true or false. You think God is not that powerful? But he has the preferred way of doing things. Even when Jesus was about to be killed as a child, God would have appeared, Herod, my son, die. And then he dies. But no, he came and told Joseph, carry the boy and escape to Egypt. God has the preferred way of doing things. And let me just speak this. That means sometimes your victory can come either to deliverance or to dominion. You know, sometimes people think the more dominating the scenario, the more God is involved. And if it's just deliverance, God says, don't go there. And you didn't go there, and people died who went there. You think it's not powerful enough. But for something, when they are there, and they are shooting, and the bullet is not entering, they say, God, delivered me. No, that voice that says, stay at home, don't go out, don't travel, don't board that flight, and delivered you from death, is the same God. Is the same God. Are you with me? He's the same God. He has a preferred way of doing things. He will not appear to Google and Apple as a assigned $10 billion, okay, for my children all over the world to preach the gospel. He can do that. But if he ever did that, Apple will multiply. You didn't hear me. He has a preferred way of doing things. Because for him, the preaching of his gospel is partnership. That has the highest ROI. The highest return on investment. Highest return on investment. Many Christians have not caught this. They think it's about church getting money from them. No. It's about you partnering with the Lord. And receiving the return on investment for that partnership. For that partnership. This is still introductory of my class. Hallelujah. Are you blessed already? God sponsors his work through the prosperity of his people. Never forget that. And then he prefers to start with them from where they are. And then grows them to what he wants. That means want to do something is 100 million. And one person comes and gives the 100 million. The way God thinks, he doesn't want to say, 100 million has come. Thank you. Pastor, sure you have all the money to preach the gospel. Thank you. I'm going to use my money. No. Amen. No. That means even when we come and announce the 100 million has come, carry your own 1 million and still put. Carry your 100,000 and still put. Carry your 2 million and still put. Are we together? Because it's beyond, it's primarily about you. Listen. You are the first beneficiary of your obedience in sacrificial giving. You are the first beneficiary. You are. Once you don't understand that, Satan will shortchange you. Shortchange you. He will sabotage you. You are the first. Listen, even when you give to the poor, you know who is the most blessed? The giver. He's not the poor man. He's not the poor man. You give to a beggar, he's not. You may say, oh, I blessed him, he's now going to eat lunch. You are the blessed one. Because the Bible says, he that gives to the poor lendeth to the Lord. When you lend to God, what do you think is your interest? What do you think is God's interest rate? Hundredfold. Are we together? When you give to a man of God, you are not doing the man of God a favor. No. When you give to your pastor, you are not doing him a favor. You are doing you a favor. You are. In fact, even when it looks as though it's an obvious need, you are not doing him a favor. Maybe your pastor needs a car. Okay. Or what the natural man thinks is, well, this man of God needed a house. I beat him a house. He's not comfortable. That's the kind of mind. The spiritual man is excited. What an opportunity. That the anointed had a need. You mean I had such opportunity. And is within your power. Blessed are you. Oh, blessed are you. Are we together? It's an honor. It's an honor. I remember I was in a city. And a mentor of mine was having a meeting. And then, he said I was around. He said, she just blessed the people. It wasn't like I was invited. I came to the town. Blessed the people. People were blessed. People were blessed. So as I was giving, he said, man of God, give me your account number. I said, no, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I cannot. Are you with me? But the focus is to give. I hear it's not possible now. There's this, except it's something that is way beyond you. The same thing with giving to the house of God. You are the first beneficiary. There's no such thing as, there are people who say, we are the pillars of the church. Thank God there are no such people here. In some ministries, I'm told, there are those who claim they are the pillars of the church. I say, God will hack them down because God does not share his... Are you here? The practice of sacrificial giving is some of the blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. All right. So Zechariah 1:17, very quickly. God's preferred way of funding the spread of his love is through the prosperity of his people. Very quickly. Zechariah 1:17. 1:17. Cry yet saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts. I love it when God introduces himself as the Lord of hosts. He's saying, I'm the God of the armies of heaven. And you will notice, especially in the Old Testament, when God is talking about the prosperity of his people, he introduces himself as the Lord of hosts. You know why? You'll see shortly. You see, when a believer gets interested in sponsoring God's agenda, a line is drawn. Are we together? A line is drawn in one way. God becomes your defense. The Almighty becomes your defense. Because Satan hates it. Write this down. Satan prefers a healthy church to a wealthy church. He does. He said, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, cry yet, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Of course, it's talking to the church of the Old Testament, but there's a principle that is obvious. Okay, this shows God's position concerning his church. Have it together. So it has a direct application to the New Testament church. Verse 18. You will see it now. You will see it now. Satan fights this with everything he has. He wants to stop. How does he fight it? Listen. Why would God say through prosperity shall my cities be spread abroad? And the next thing you see, he said, then lifted I mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. Why? Four horns talked about terrorists. You see it now. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be this? And he says, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Verse 20. Watch this. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. And keep reading. And then said I, what come this to do? And he said, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. This is what I want you to see. Can you imagine that? God declared, through prosperity shall my cities be spread abroad. Then horns came to scatter Judah so that nobody will raise his head. Because when God's people raise their head, the gospel moves forward. What I want to show you is, this is warfare. Satan fights the prosperity of the believer with everything he has. And part of the strategy of that battle is to sponsor ignorance. Ignorance, okay? To sponsor rumors, unholy rumors. Listen, when you see those things going on Twitter, on Facebook, about giving to church, about tithing, about giving to the anointed, the attack is not on the pastor. No pastor will suffer. You understand? The attack is on your faith. If you get that, you are truly smart. The focus is your faith. They have come for your faith. They want to destroy your faith. All the talk is not about pastors. It's your faith. So he sponsors scandals around giving so that people can withdraw. I would rather give my money to the poor. I say, if I give to the poor, I'm giving to the Lord. I've told you the assignment of the New Testament church. And that emphasis must control your giving. In case you didn't hear me earlier. That means you give to the poor, but it's not primary. You can't give more to the poor than you give to the advancement of God's kingdom. You are not wise. No, you can't. You can't. You can't now. It's like abandoning your wife to take care of his mother. Do you understand? She's not your primary responsibility. Do you understand? I'm hoping that's close enough. The gospel. The gospel. And then he shows, he says, these carpenters have come to free them. Cast the horns of the Gentiles, which lift up their horns over the land of Judah to scatter it. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Glory to God forevermore. So that is the first thing you have to understand. Once you understand this and partner with the Lord, you break out of lack and average life forever. That places God's preferred way of sponsoring his work, the prosperity of his people, is a partnership. You go all out to give. Oh, glory to God. You will. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, you cannot go far in this life, in the kingdom, if you don't understand and practice sacrificial giving. You can't. You can't go far. Let me address people who give these silly excuses and comparisons. Somebody will be like, let me not call anybody's name. Look at this guy. Are they giving to the gospel? Are they giving to church? Are they giving tithes? But they are rich. That's one of the most silly things you can say as a believer. Comparing yourself with an unbeliever. Listen, we operate by a different set of rules. This is what the Bible teaches. Jesus was talking about the unjust steward. You know what he said? At the end, he commended the unjust steward. He said, for the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the sons of the kingdom. What is he saying? The children of this world have mastered their own systems, but the sons of the kingdom have not mastered their own systems. There are two kingdoms and there are two systems. Are we together? In the kingdom of God, we operate by God's system. You cannot try to power your life in God's kingdom comparing yourself with someone who operates Satan's system. He cannot work. It's a silly comparison. Very silly. It does not even make spiritual sense. So you are talking to a believer and he's saying, hey, but I'm almost tempted to call somebody's name. I've overcome the temptation. Amen. But this guy has blown. Look at this car. Number one, do you know what he does? Amen. Do you know what he does? And do you know what they do? One of the flashy people you see in cities, they bow down to things though. I give you a story of a dear sister now. Last year in Abuja, who got delivered? A vomited lizard. And as that was happening, her house, a head of lizard, if there's anything like that, ran out of the house. The neighbors were hearing noise. Lizards. They opened the door. They had specky. They opened the door. Lizards. She was sick. They took her to every hospital. Every hospital. It was a guy that was paying her. She was to die. She now remembered. And a church girl who went to do NYC saw flashy boy, started falling, started sleeping with the boy. She said one day when they were having sex, he turned to a reptile. That she thought it was her mind that deceived her. That she felt cold and the guy She saw a reptile. She thought maybe her mind. You know a reptile? That's the class of lizard. Do you understand where that came from? It's not far story. Let me not go too far. It's close. For those who think by because of money, you are carrying your head everywhere. You would die for nothing. You die like a lizard. Are you with me? Thank you, Jesus. Life is spiritual. Life is very spiritual. So why was I saying this? You don't compare yourself with people who are not born again. We operate by different sets of rules. And we do the things we've been told to do from scriptures. Are you with me? Do the things we've been told to do from scriptures. And don't make silly comparisons. Do what you're told. Hallelujah. Do what you're told. This is God's pathway to prosperity. This is how your capacity will be increased. He says that God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That you always having, that is increased ability, all sufficiency, may give unto every good work. He says the liberal soul shall be made fat. That means your capacity is increased. Oh, glory to God. I'll get into that in the second service. Your capacity is increased. You must be a giver. You must be. It's compulsory. Do you understand? Don't explain it away. Be a giver. And many times, do it sacrificially. You are hearing me now. Some of us are about to take off. You wonder, how on earth are we so blessed? This is what we are doing now. This is what we are doing now. Living on the leftovers and giving the best to God. I told you last week, I can't give to myself what I've not given to God. No, it's not possible now. I carry 1 million to pay for a house. And I'm not giving millions to God. It can't happen. Are we together? I carry 4 million to buy a car. And I'm not giving that to God. It can't happen. You can't catch me doing it. It's a personal relationship that speaks honor. That's why I ask, what agenda is your life about? If you have an agenda, you put your money there. Our brothers on the other side, they do these things. Hope you know. I gave you some examples last week. I told you of a convert who was getting discouraged, hanging around Christians. He was a fanatic from the other side. He even went to the Middle East to be a scholar. You know what I'm talking about? And then he was getting discouraged. He said, Why are we attached to cars and lands and all that? See where I'm coming from. We use things as a means to an end. We are not attached to things. But I thought we are the ones where I am now. I thought we are the ones with the main thing. My heart was pained. Are you with me? They do. When the imam calls for something, people can sell what they have to give. Is it not true? Go and do your research. There are those who keep money for the purpose of sponsoring that agenda. Are you not aware? The guy they caught on a bike with guns, does it look like he has money to buy the ammunition? No, does it look like it? Are you here? Believers, wake up. God is blessing us already, and there are greater blessings ahead. But let your heart be aligned. Don't be these average, stupid Christians who don't care about church. Don't be. Have a personal covenant with God to sponsor His work. Personal covenant. And it starts from where you are now. There are people who pray, Lord, you know, if you give me that 10 million, I'll give 5 million to church. And God is laughing in heaven. Say, bros, you have 200,000 in your account. Have you given it? Because the law is starting from where you are. If you can't make sacrifices now, you can't make it later. In second service, I'll teach you about faithfulness. Jesus teachers taught three kinds of faithfulness, right? Faithfulness with mammon. And what it means. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed? Sold out. Rise to your feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Just bless the name of the Lord. Honor him. Exalt him. He's worthy. Lerush Kabaya. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Adoration. You are amazing. You are amazing. Thank you, Lord. In just 2 minutes, we're going to pray this thing in. Okay? We're going to pray it in 2 minutes. Can we do that? Can we do that? Just lift your right hand. You say, Lord, I'm sold out. I'm not attached to anything. All that I am and all that I have is yours. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, it's all yours. Sego barakiba. In kapatosika prodelike sushta. It's all yours. It's all yours. It's all yours. Seko brendileko posushata. Jelika brondo sika brondo kopotosa. Meroboko sishte poroboko potosa. Mentolo brendileko posushata. In kapatosile kopredile kosa. Woo! Shabato lebribike potosushta. Thank you, Lord. One more minute. Just talk to the Lord where you are. My heart is yours.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.